Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at UHealthSports.com.
Yes, sir. Welcome in to another version of our South Florida High School Sports Radio Show for a Wednesday evening, 8 o'clock to 10. A different time. We'll kind of do this a lot during the next couple of months because of the Panthers and the Heat. But nevertheless, we are here with you for 2 hours. Next week, I think we will still be here 8 to 10, but it'll be on Tuesday. And then I think Trevor said that the following Monday we're here 7 to 9. So we will be with you. And that's an important thing, especially now because of the fact that we have a lot going on, no matter where you look at it, from recruiting standpoint, from high school, from college. There are going to be some really good games, good matchups, and great opportunities for these young men now to be seen college coaches and come out. They were on the sideline the last week or so and got an opportunity. It's really weird because one of the schools that I don't want to mention, which school was on the sideline on Monday evening, was a makeup game, Wes Broward and Cardinal Gibbons. And I said, geez, being here on a Monday night, there's no other games to go to. And he says, yeah, well, we have two kids committed. And I said, oh, okay. I said, that's a great reason. I mean, you know, you got to show some love. And that's part of the recruiting business. People don't realize that these college coaches, even though that these athletes are committed to them for next year or whatever, the next year after that, you got to still show up, especially in this day and age of somebody saying, hey, by the way, if you come here, I'll give you, a couple of hamburgers extra every week. Yeah, right. But that's what recruiting has come down to. It's still the old school. It's still the, come on out and see the kid and, text them and make sure everybody's doing good. And mom's birthday's coming up and you're going to send mom a nice little card. And, little sis is graduating from high school or middle school. And you're going to send them, say, hey, that's part of the recruiting business. I mean, and there are very few that are really, really good at it to the point where, like I said, they're going to remember dates. You're going to remember friends. They're going to, hey, didn't your friend just celebrate a birthday or whatever? So there's, parts of the recruiting now, but nothing beats coming down and seeing these kids in person because, mom and dad are up in the stands and they go, hey, there's Coach so-and-so from the school. That's great that he's coming down to see Johnny tonight, on a Monday evening. And, it's a game that wasn't, really scheduled. It was just a makeup game. But nevertheless, they were there. They thought enough to follow up and find out, that they were going to be playing on that day. So that's, when I talk to people about recruiting, they think it's just X's and O's and, that's it. Can the kid run? Can he catch? Can he tackle? Can he make a field goal? Okay. That's part of it, but that's a small part of it because anybody can see that. It's character. It's, getting an opportunity to immerse yourself in the lives of these athletes, their families, hey, your mom just got a promotion at work, and the kid's looking at him, how the heck, you know, but that's part of the business. You know, they figure, well, this guy, you know, if he cares enough to know when my friend's birthday is and my mom got a promotion, that's, you know, that's one for the home team. So that's part of it. And then obviously you have, you know, district games in high school that are going to have bearing on the postseason playoffs, which are coming quick. I mean, we're going to the week seven. I remember we're back in June, July, or even May, and finishing up spring football, and, you know, October looked like eons away, and here we are, first day of. And the games that'll be taking place this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, there's the gigantic one. And, yeah, the Miami Hurricanes at FSU, too. But down here, more meaningful is Miami Central and Miami Northwestern, two national teams, going at it at 4:30. They've accommodated them, you know, the University of Miami and Florida State, which are kicking off right here on this radio station right here at 7:30. So that high school game looms really large on Saturday, and that's going to be, you know, it's going to usher right into the Miami game. In fact, you know, it may run over because those games, you know, you get those two teams together, and especially because of this weather. And don't get me started. I mean, again, next 3 days, 70%. I've lived here majority of my entire life, but I'm just saying over the last 10 years, I have never seen it like this. Ever, not even close. Every game I go to, every single game I go to either has a threat of rain and light. Well, forget rain. I mean, rain could happen, but it's the lightning. Last Friday, hour and a half delay, hour and 40 minutes, the last Thursday. It's getting old. I mean, you know, I know we live in Florida. I know it rains. I know we have these lightnings, but come on, not at this rate. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. Not a meteorologist. I don't profess to be one, but they are, I mean, it is, you get to the game and all of a sudden, you know, you see the field that the team's running off the field during warmups, and you're thinking, wow, that's early. Oh, we're in a lightning delay. And every time that lightning meter goes off, that's 30 minutes. It really has taken a toll on this season. Mostly in South Florida, because other parts of the state, even though, you know, you get your rain and you get your lightning and your thunderstorms in the afternoon and they clear, these things linger around. I mean, I'm not crying. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, it's ridiculous. See, if you're listening, wherever you're listening, and I'm glad you are, you don't have a clue what we're going through. I mean, you get out there, you leave your house, and a half hour away, those skies are dark, the lightning is everywhere, and the crazy thing is a lot of these storms don't move. They'll come in and hover over one area for like 2 hours. Yeah, it's never been like this. And I've been covering sports in general for 6 decades, and I never remember that, you know, yeah, we've had our delays. We've had our postponements. Never at this rate. And it really is doing a terrible job in the way that things are playing out because, you know, a school gets some momentum in a game and they go ahead 21-0. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're finished. Well, we'll be making this game up in 3 weeks. Yeah. But what happened to the great momentum our team just had? You know, we could come back and be terrible. So that's that. And obviously, that's an important part of that. That's why I brought it up. Obviously, everybody knows that this Saturday is huge in many ways for so many different reasons. Obviously, playoff implications, ACC implications, and probably most of all, recruiting. Because Miami's had three different opportunities to recruit. And, you know, this year with some games being at home, you know, during the four-game homestand that they had. And, yeah, it's kind of crazy, you know. I mean, the way things are. You had the Notre Dame game, you had USF, and then you had Florida. But this week, it'll be advantage to Florida State because of the fact that they have an opportunity to invite their recruits in this game. Even though a lot of them, like I said before, are on that fence between Miami and Florida and Florida State. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what's going on. You know, especially as the recruiting is concerned. And those, that's what this game means. It means a lot in so many aspects. Miami's first road game. Remember, they don't leave this state until the mid part of October. that's crazy. Because after this week, they have another off day. Still following what FAU and FIU are doing, St. Thomas University, Ave Maria, Kaiser University, all the schools that are playing here in South Florida as well, and throughout the state, because I got to remember now on 104.3 FM, we're getting a lot more listeners from everywhere, and I get it all the time, you know, via our messages or email or Facebook or Twitter or X or whatever they were on that, hey, I caught you. Can you get our coach on? Can you have, you know, somebody else on? And yeah, that's another good thing. And we do let everybody know. So even though this is a different time, if you're driving around or maybe hunting around on your computer or whatever, and you're finding that we're on here on a Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock. I kind of put that out, our Facebook account, our Instagram account, letting everybody know who's going to be on the show, what time the show is going to be. So we let everybody know. We don't just pop up. I mean, we've been doing this too long, and I know that we have a really nice following, and I do appreciate all the people who listen every week and let us know when we see them at games that they heard, you know, our guest, or they heard our segment, you know, maybe our opening segment, and they agree or disagree with what we say. But that's great. The very fact that you're taking time, you know, to make this show popular and what it has been for 15 years. That's important to us, you know, because normally, you know, a high school oriented show in a market this size usually doesn't have a lot of traction unless, you know, you attack it the way we have. And we have a lot of guests and we have college coaches, you know, to make it a more attractive product. And we, you know, have branched out now out of football season to doing basketball and to do baseball. And we did soccer, and we try to get everybody covered, because that's what this show has been about for all these years, is to, you know, give you the audience an opportunity to take part and, you know, be a part of it. And that's why each week we have six different guests. And yeah, you may not be interested in, you know, our college football talk with USF or Florida or, you know, Miami, but you may be interested in what we bring to you, you know, as far as our coverage with FSU. And you may be a, you know, a Central Florida fan, or, you know, so that's what we give everybody every week. And then, you know, with Trevor Harris, after our shows, we go on our, we post everything on our podcast setting. So it gives you that opportunity to catch up if you perhaps didn't get an opportunity to listen to the show live, and listen, that's fully understood. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't care where, who you are and what station, you know, especially here, whether you, you know, you follow, you know, Joe Rose or, you know, the Hockman and Crowder and Solana or whoever you follow on our show, you know, that's, and we appreciate that. But we know that at the same time that you can't listen every single day to every hour of the show. It's just impossible, of any show. And yeah, so, you know, I mean, our morning shows or afternoon shows, and that's why I said that's why we have our podcast reruns of every guest that we have on, all the segments on WQAM.com. So that's important for you to understand as well. So yeah, when you have an opportunity to check us out, you know, at any time, like I said, or any of the shows that we have here, you just go to WQAM.com and go to the top of the page, and you could catch any of the shows, Tobin and Leroy, any of them, at any time, you know, any day. And they're doing their shows a video, so you get a chance to see everybody's mug. Not mine, perhaps, but that's okay. But everybody else, they have an opportunity. I catch with Joe Rose every Friday morning. If you guys are on the way to work or school, you know, we're on from about 7:20 to 7:40, talking about some of the top games, top teams. So, yeah, we give you guys ample opportunity to check out what we do and everybody else here at the station. And obviously with Hurricane football and Hurricane basketball, and now the return of the two-time defending champion Florida Panthers, as you heard right before our show with Doug Plagans, the preview for the 2025-6 season that will be getting underway next Tuesday, I believe, or next week, next Wednesday. And also the Miami Heat, which obviously is a different product than we're used to be seeing. You know, Miami is no longer the team to beat, as they have been so many times. But now they got a lot of new faces and a couple of injuries along the way don't help at all. But, yeah, thanks so much for – you know, making us part of your listening day as well, no matter how you do it, whether you're at the gym or just riding in your car at home. Show this evening, some really good guests for you. About 9:35, I have to kind of be mindful that we're in a different hour. 9:35, we'll talk to Liam Rooney from the Tallahassee Democrat. He'll give us the FSU side of this week's game. At about 9:25, Jordan McPherson from the Miami Herald will talk about the Hurricanes. So we'll get that covered for you in that latter segment. About 9:05, Coach Tim Ice-Harris, the head coach at Mattar Academy. And like I said, I've been covering high school football a long time, and this coach is one of the best that has ever coached. His first year at Mattar, they've won the district already. They're undefeated. They're going to be state-rated as well, so we'll catch up with him. Natmore Trophy will be coming up in December, on December 2nd. It will be awarded, but we will preview what goes on to get your favorite athlete elected. Last year, Malachi Tony was the winner. Now, as you see, he's with the Hurricanes. Mike Cugno from CBS4. Will join us about 8:50. We'll talk about that. At 8:35, we'll talk to head coach Calvin Davis from Monarch High School. The Knights will be playing at Chaminade Madonna this Friday. Big game. They probably have one of the toughest schedules. They've been in New Jersey. They played against Jacksonville Bulls earlier this year in the Broward Showcase. So we'll talk to Coach Davis at 8:35. And just a few minutes, we'll talk to Jose Duaso from the Crib Classic All-Star Game, the Dade Broward game, which also not only includes the high school seniors, but also eighth graders this year that'll be having their All-Star Game as well. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels. Elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, talk a little Crib Classic All-Star Game. Jose Duaso and Coach Calvin Davis of Monarch are on deck.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, up until 10 o'clock this evening. Glad you could be with us on our late night version of South Florida high school sports. And we're glad that you're with us on this Wednesday evening. As I said, at the end of every season, you know, there's always these all-star games, a lot of games that kind of spotlight a lot of the players who had done extremely well during the year. And sometimes these kids don't play in all the games. You know, there's all those national contests, but I'll tell you what, When it comes to, you know, people who do things for some of these kids on a year-round basis, they trust what they do. And I'll tell you what, last year, the Crib Classic All-Star Game, which I guess was more from the year before, from the Crib battle, which, you know, Frank Tucker and them kind of got underway, that was played at Monsignor Pace, held over at the you know, at the Inter-Miami spinoff stadium is what I call it. But I'll tell you what, it was really good. And then the Crib Classic really went off throughout the whole year. They had the eighth grade All-Star game, the Dade versus Broward game. They had the showcase last summer with the 7-on-7 and also a really, really good combine that kind of culminated things. But you know what? They're getting ready now to get this game, you know, for this year, going to be played, you know, at the end of the season in December. And again, they're already putting invites out to some of these top players who are going to come. And after last year, I think they're going to get a lot of people. Jose Duaso is one of many who really get this thing going 100%. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Jose, thanks so much for taking time on a Monday evening and obviously playing off a very successful end of the season with the 7-on-7 last summer and also a really, really good and productive combine that they had right before the start of the season. We start looking towards the All-Star game for the high schools and also the eighth graders.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, Larry. It's been a great series that we've started in Crib Classic, from the 7-on-7s to the combine. Now we're headed into Dade versus Broward. Really excited to kick it off this year. We're bringing the game back to Dade County. We partnered with Adidas. We got Traz Powell. I think it's going to be awesome for the community what we're pulling off. We want to have five events in the day. You just named two of them in the eighth grade and in the varsity game. We have a couple more, few more we want to announce here, but really excited to get Adidas on board. Really excited to have Traz Powell be the venue for it. As you know, that is the Mecca down here, and really excited to just promote this event with our partners at 305 Sports. You know, Michael and Anthony, they are everywhere and everywhere, and make sure that they're first to get it out. So they're our road warriors, and they're a great partner for us.
Yeah, and this is all based around a great foundation that you guys are a part of, and something that kind of bring in awareness to education and also to what these young student athletes go through. Talk about that, because I think that's really important. Even though the All-Star games and everything that, you know, athletically is really important, it's probably what, you know, leads up to all this and what is behind all this that really is important to everybody.
Yeah. And on that note, it's perfect to say, like, Mike Haggard and his law firm have just come and become an awesome sponsor for us to educate the kids on gun violence and stuff like that. And then we have Morgan Stanley as a partner with the nonprofit to teach on our 7 on side end some financial literacy to the kids, because, you know, these kids now are making money like grown men when they graduate. But the foundation's been incredible beyond the goalpost. I really got to thank Alec DeGroza, who's come in as a partner in this and taken the event space in the Crib Classic. Joel Shapiro always had this idea. We called the Twins at 305 Sports, and now we're activating events and want to do activations with some of our sponsors at a venue. What do you call it? Traz Powell, and get the community involved.
Yeah, and I think it's great because everything's kind of intertwined, as you mentioned. You know, the 305 Sports Twins, great guys. I see them everywhere. They go everywhere. The kids love them. You know, they're close enough to the age of a lot of these kids where they relate to them, which I think is awesome. They're hard workers. They're college graduates, and you know, they're a huge part of all this as far as, you know, getting the kids involved, and you know, especially out at the 7 on 7, they were front and center. And then you look at what they brought to the table, you know, during the combine at Ives Park, you know, later in the, you know, before the season started. So you get everybody like that. And then yourself, who, you know, has a vested interest in a lot of the 7 on 7 events, you know, with your Raw team and some of the other programs that go on. I mean, all this, and you guys are probably understand this more than most, because of everything that you just brought up financially and because of the money that's involved to these kids that are 17 and 18 years old. I mean, you know, you look at Jeremiah Smith, and before he caught a pass at Ohio State, he was already given a $5,000 check back to his alma mater in Chaminade, Madonna. So, you know, you take a look at this and how these kids, and you brought up a great point about, you know, the literacy and understanding what to do with your finances and how, you know, you give back to the community and how you give back to the people who gave to you along the way. And, you know, don't be, and, you know, we have too many athletes of, and I, you know, I've covered this for a long, long time, Jose, and I know, and I've seen a lot of these guys who leave here and, you know, they never come back. You know, they got theirs, and you know what? They don't want to give back to the people who helped them along the way. So you guys are kind of, you know, kind of force feeding this. You're like getting these kids involved. You look at people like Tutu Atwell and you know, Teddy Bridgewater and people like that who understand and who understood.
Teddy and Shuler called the offense last year. Teddy was the head coach, part of this great game, and we have a great flick of him and Shuler calling the last play to Cortez, and just great memories for these kids. You have Teddy Bridgewater and Tommy Shuler, guys who've been there, done that at their respective levels, giving back to these kids. We're very fortunate for that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. They kind of got it before they ever left. You know, I mean, you know, I've known Tutu Atwell since, you know, because I covered his dad back in the day when his dad was at Miami High. And, you know, I mean, it's these guys understand. And you know what? They have parental guidance, you know, like, I mean, everywhere that you see a lot of these young men giving, you know, giving everything back, there's always something there, like, you know, and Tutu Atwell with his mom and his grandma, they're great. I mean, they've been, you know, they've been front and center for so long. And you get these kids in Broward County as well that are giving back. And I think that what you guys are doing is tremendous. Talk about the All-Star game. What dates are we looking at for the
December 20th, at, like I said, at Traz Powell.
Right.
We gave away 1,000 tickets to the local parks last year. We're looking to give away more than that this year. It's all about exposure. It's all about getting the kid. Look, yes, we have the Trey Bells, the Brandon Kinseys, the Calvin Russells, the Derek Coopers. Who knows if they play, but they're invited. But the other kids that could make a play, and maybe St. Thomas is there. Maybe a FCS school's there and sees him. A few kids last year, I remember, got a few offers off of this game. So it's an opportunity to make a play and get exposed and have the Twins there to have a massive platform to get everything out there for you.
Yeah. No, and I agree, and that's awesome part of it all, and a lot, and nobody's left out. Last year, you know, I saw a couple of the coaches that were there supporting their kids, you know, the Roger Harriots, the Calvin Davises, and guys like that that were there supporting their players who were in the game, and that's the fun part. You know, I mean, as it turned out, the young man who was a quarterback for St. Thomas ended up winning the MVP, or, you know, having a big role, and he's starting this year.
We have some great alumni doing great things in college right now. As you just said, Andrew Indorf, the Twins from Norland up at Florida State, having a tremendous year as freshman. And then you have Cortez Mills, who's a role guy right now at Nebraska, getting a few catches as a freshman, which, you know, that's very hard to do in today's day and age. And then Nashawn Montgomery, that should be get going here at Florida soon.
Yeah, I agree. But that's awesome. We'll be there. We'll have you on again. We'll as we get more details. I kind of figure out what else is going to happen. I think we're going to get the girls involved in as well.
Not to show our cards, but we have some great plans. We have an awesome partner in Adidas. As you know, Raw is an Adidas family, so we have a great relationship with them. They're going to do a great thing for us out there and for the community. Very excited for all this. And like I said, we have Haggard Law and the starting lineup guy coming to help, and Jesse DePena. He's awesome. He went to that West Boca Bergen Catholic game. He's the one that did all the work there. So we're going to have an awesome, awesome just time there, exposure, just overall feel, professional atmosphere. I can't wait for the kids to experience this.
Good stuff. December 20th, that's at Traz Powell, but we'll have a lot of details in between now and then. Jose, I can't thank you enough, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate you.
Good stuff. Jose Duaso from the Crib Classic All-Star Games. It's going to be a heck of a day on December 20th. Not only the Dade Broward All-Star Game, but also the 8th grade. Kind of tipped his hat. I think the girls are going to get involved. You may have a little bit of youth football as well. So that's going to be important. It's important to get all of South Florida exposed, and they do so. And everybody benefits. And speaking about benefit, one of the programs down here, I'll tell you what, they've been getting it done for a while. Coach Calvin Davis has done a tremendous job with Monarch this year. He figures, you know, the only way to get notoriety is to play teams. They do. They opened up the season with a really good Jacksonville Bulls team. They went up to New Jersey. I mean, they went up and beat Sanford Seminole this year. This Friday, rather, they get an opportunity to knock a little bit with Chaminade Madonna, and Coach Calvin Davis is kind enough to join us. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time, and I want to congratulate you on stepping things up for these kids and giving them the opportunity, you know, to play a schedule like they play, because, you know, you could stay here in South Florida and play the teams that you see all year round, but you're giving these kids an opportunity to go up against programs and athletes they may never see, you know, during the course of a year.
Yes, thank you for having us on. It's been a great experience. Some of the kids had never traveled before. They had never been on a plane. So just giving them that opportunity, the opportunity to see different teams, to experience something different, it was amazing. They really appreciated it.
Yeah, and not only that, last year you went up and you played Sanford Seminole and you guys lost on the last play of the game, and I'm sure that's something that stuck with you. This year you went up there with a purpose because you had gone and played a Bulls team who is one of the top 2A teams. You went up to Don Bosco Prep in New Jersey and played them really tough. They're one of the tough programs, you know, in the East. But having that game in hand and coming back and beating a Sanford Seminole and then taking care of Fort Lauderdale, you know, to put yourself in a position in the district to come out on top, because you guys play in, I think, the toughest classification in 6A in the state. You know, from top to bottom, from Gainesville, Buchholz, and Mandarin to the top, and Armwood, and especially down here, as you know, with West Boca and also Southridge and yourself. Talk about what it's like to get. Because you still have St. Thomas in a couple of weeks, and that's a game that you guys also relish. Talk about what you do when you get this schedule together, Coach, you know, and you tell these kids, hey, listen, you know what? I mean, we really got to prepare. We got to get our things right because, yeah, we play Coral Springs and we play Piper, but we also are going to play some teams that everybody regards nationally.
Right. For us, I mean, the wins and losses matter, but it's more so about giving our kids an opportunity to get exposure. What better exposure for the kids than having an opportunity to play a Bulls, to play a Don Bosco, to play a Chaminade, to play a St. Thomas? Because when college coaches turn on their film and they see you did well against those kids, it increases the chances of our kids getting a scholarship opportunity. And that's right. Really what we're about. That's what we work for our kids and our program, giving them an opportunity to get to the next level. So that's why we play those type of teams, to put our kids in position to, you know, see where they're at.
Yeah. And you've coached a lot of high level kids. I mean, you know, let's face it. I mean, over the last decade or so, I mean, you've had kids gone on to college and obviously into the NFL. And once again, in this class coming up with Jabari Brady and Jabari Riggins and a quarterback that a lot of people don't know about, and Florentino Lopez, who's one of the best in the state. I mean, it gives your younger kids an opportunity to see some of these veteran players. And you know as well as I do, because you remember when Jabari Brady was a freshman and he looked up to a lot of those seniors, much the way that a lot of your younger kids are looking up to some of your senior players right now. Talk about that, because I think you've probably put more effort into having role models for your players to look up to, you know, throughout the years than basically any coach that I know.
Oh, yeah, we do. Just having, like, his 4 years have went by so fast, but the fact that he had those guys to look up to, and now we have a nice young nucleus right now. Like, we probably start maybe 4 10th graders, and then we start maybe 7 or 8 11th graders. So we have a lot of guys that are young that look up to those older guys that have been in the program for a little while. So I think they're doing a great job. He's doing a great job. And it's a great thing for our program, just having a nice mixture of upperclassmen, lowerclassmen, and they're just all gelling, coming together right now.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Calvin Davis joins us, head coach at Monarch. And the one thing, too, as you just mentioned, you're seeing a lot of these younger kids like a Sanjay Fisher, who's a junior, getting a lot of attention, from colleges. I know that he's getting offers as well. And you're looking at some of the younger kids, you know, like the kid Millicent, who's just, you know, a sophomore, or a freshman like Alex Etienne, or Keyshawn Pascal, who's the next generation of guys that are going to be, you know, players that everybody's going to look up to. When you take a look at some of these players, and you have so many of them that are going to go on to the next level, and you take a look at the opportunities that you've had playing in the Broward Showcase the last few years, and, you know, having excellent games. I mean, last year you played against a team from Georgia, who came back this year and won. And as you said, you know, you were met a match with the Bulls team that obviously is one of the best in the state. I don't know if you knew, but that running back ran last week for 554 yards and scored 8 touchdowns for
him. He's pretty good. But I think our schedule really is going to prepare us for the playoffs. We, like you said, we play some really good teams. Our kids have really bonded over the last couple weeks, and I think those games were good for us. Even though we lost them, I think they prepared us for what we're going to face come playoff time with, like you said, with the Southridge, with the Flanagan, with the West Broward, West Boca, those types of teams. So we should be prepared. We should be ready for when that time comes in about 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. Coming up this Friday, Chaminade Madonna, team that you played last week or last year. Obviously, well-coached team, perennial power. And then you get back into your district. You know, you get a chance to play Coral Springs and then Piper, a game that probably will once again tell the district title. And then in between, you still got to play St. Thomas and then Ely. So the schedule's filled, and you guys have done a tremendous job so far. And again, Coach, I can't thank you. It's always a pleasure to see you at games. I have a lot of respect for what you do and how you treat your kids and obviously your coaching staff as well. And we'll definitely see you soon.
Thank you so much for having me on. Appreciate it much. Thank you.
Anytime. Coach Calvin Davis, the head coach at Monarch, really good coach. I mean, the guy works hard. I mean, and the thing is, he has his coaches, his assistants. They coach as well. They're hard workers. I love it. You know, when you get an opportunity to play the schedule that they've played. And as he said, when you go on the road, you know, to even if it's just up the road in Orlando area when they played Sanford Seminole, or boarding a plane and going up to New Jersey to play against a Don Bosco prep. I mean, that's big. That's big for the 15, 16, 17-year-old kids that are high schools. It gets them prepared, and especially now with the offseason the way it is, where they travel to everywhere. You know, they take a caravan, their buses go all over the place, go to the Midwest, and go to the, you know, Eastern Seaboard. So by the time the season starts, when they go on these road trips, they're ready. And then it's exciting, you know, for everybody involved, administration, for also the student body as well. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, you know, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and even youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we'll talk about the Nat Moore Trophy. That's the Heisman for high school kids down here. There have been some really good football players, especially the last 2 years, and Jeremiah Smith from Chaminade Madonna and also Malachi Tony from American Heritage were the winners. Mike Cugno from CBS4 will join us next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 1043 WQAM, sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Seeing Trevor Harris back with you on a Wednesday evening. Glad you could be with us up till 10 o'clock. Usually in a different time day, but nevertheless, we are here. Thanks so much to Jose Duaso from the Crib Classic All-Star Game. Also to head coach Calvin Davis from Monarch High School. They have a big one this week against Chaminade Madonna. One of the things that we see every year is the Nat Moore Trophy. I mean, it's the Heisman. It really is. I mean, some of the top talent, if you ever been to or watched it on TV, on CBS4, I mean, it is the Heisman Trophy. I mean, and even if you don't go, you don't know what goes on. You know, you know, before the show with the families there and the friends and the media, and everybody's treated to a first class of event over the last 2 years, as I mentioned. Jeremiah Smith, who probably one of the best football players in the country. And then Malachi Toney last year from American Heritage Plantation, doing a tremendous job with the University of Miami. This is an event that CBS4 has run with from the beginning, and they've done a tremendous job. And this year, once again, they'll be hosting it on December the 2nd. Will be a live event at 7:30 from Hard Rock Stadium. And right now they're narrowing down the field of athletes who will be in, and one of the four that will be among those. And somebody who's been at it from day one, Mike Cugno, who is CBS4 sports anchor and also does a tremendous job on the Dolphin broadcast. And he's kind enough to join us this evening. Mike, thanks so much for joining us, and it's that time of year again, and I know that everybody is probably inundating you with, hey, my kid belongs, my kid should win it.
What's up, Larry? Yeah, listen, one of the funniest parts of, not the funniest parts, but I guess one of the coolest parts of, once we kind of start voting and everything, is when those, when we get that final tally of just how many nominees were submitted. And I mean, it's incredible. Like, the way the community has embraced this award and this initiative we've had since, I believe, 2019 now.
Yeah.
2018, something like that, with Henry Parrish winning the first one. It's been amazing to watch it grow. And I was just, you know, I was just talking to Nat the other day, and we were kind of marveling at how, you know, when it started, you know, there was plenty of people in attendance, coaches, family members, and stuff. But the room now at the award show, you have, there's no standing room only available anymore.
Yeah.
There is the families and the friends that come, and the coaches, people are standing during the ceremony, because that's how many people want to get in. It's very cool to see, and something we're very proud of. And I got to tip our hat to Trish Christakis. She's really kind of picked up the ball in terms of introducing these athletes to us on a weekly basis. She does a great job. She connects with the players so well. It's been fun to watch her kind of grab the bull by the horns here with this project. And really, you know, you hear the players, or you see them on, you know, Rivals or 24/7 Sports or ESPN, but to actually get to see them and hear from them, she does a great job introducing them to South Florida.
Yeah, she does. And she does some great, you know, features with them. And, you know, one comes to mind is Reuben Bain, when she did him a couple years ago, and how he talked about wanting to be on the other side of the camera and wanting to, you know, to do some of the things. And we kind of got inside his head to see what type of person he was away from the football field. And that's the great thing. A lot of these people don't understand, but they look at him and they see him in between the lines and see him every Friday night and, you know, and playing the game. But, you know, you look at a Malachi Toney, who I don't think anybody can appreciate what he's done as a young kid who graduated from high school a year before he was supposed to. You look at Jeremiah Smith. I mean, here's a kid who sat on that podium and came up and got his award, and he may be go down as one of the best football players in college of all time when it's all said and done. I mean, he's that much of an impact, and here they are having an opportunity, and, you know, you and myself and Trish and Bo have an opportunity to talk about him and to kind of like let everybody know about them on the night. And that night, as you mentioned, I mean, it's great. I mean, the parents get there, they're taking pictures, they're getting interviewed. It's a big time thing. They're just sitting down and having some food. And you know, it's an experience, Mike, that a kid that, I don't think it really goes on in very many other places. I know that it was kind of spearheaded for what they did in Dallas, you know, early on. But this is something that, you know, it's beyond words, because you and I could sit there and describe what that evening is like. And you can only see so much from TV, but from the production end of things. And I mean, you're finding yourself not just getting, you know, Jim Berry and the sports people there, but I mean, people who have everybody is everybody who has a say so on what goes on at the TV station. They're there front and center, and they're enjoying it as much as anybody. And I think that's a great part of it.
The community aspect of it is truly fun to see, because you're talking about generations of football fans and these, you know, and these players' parents and players. And I think for the parents to walk in there and get like the red carpet treatment as well, and get to meet Nat Moore or Joe Rose or Tim Bocamper, and get to talk to them, some of their football heroes from growing up and watching them. That's also really cool. You know, that's something that maybe goes unnoticed. And, you know, something that Nat talks about a lot is, yeah, we're giving, you know, these players a platform and showing them off here. But part of, I think, Nat Moore's goal, and this is what makes him such a good guy, is he always tells me that not only do I want to, you know, to give these kids exposure for all the hard work they've done, but we certainly hope that in the process, while we're showing these kids off, who knows, maybe scouts or recruiters from these schools want to go check them out, and then also learn or see about a kid who may be under-recruited at these schools. And it, all of a sudden, that exposure leads to this kind of secondary exposure to other athletes who maybe haven't been noticed yet. And that's part of Nat's mission here, is to get as many kids into college, scholarships, continue their education, continue to play football at the same time, obviously, because this is a pathway there. And so it really becomes important to the families that they're all part of this.
Yeah, 100%. Can they still nominate at natmoortrophy.com, or is that ending?
Yeah, listen, natmoortrophy.com. I was just on the site earlier today. You can still nominate. Go for it. We've already profiled a bunch of really good players this year, but we're still taking more. Derek Cooper, Justice Fitzpatrick, Brandon Bennett, Calvin Russell, just to name a few. Have already had features done. We basically do features every week, and nice. Have been really since the Dolphins preseason game started. So we're probably up to
eight
guys we've been able to feature already. So plenty more to come. So get those submissions in. That way we can continue to navigate the very deep pool of athletes here in South Florida that are deserving to be nominated and possibly win this award.
Yeah, sounds good. We'll have you on again as we narrow things down. I can't thank you enough, Mike. I appreciate you, and continue doing the great job. We watch you all the time. You do an awesome job on the Dolphin broadcast, and I know that a big win the other night, obviously, was much needed. Again, I know a big Saturday for you this week up in Tallahassee, and so it's a big weekend. Again, and
is there a big college game going on between a couple of schools from down here?
yeah, you're sandbagging now. All right, Mike, I appreciate you, brother.
All right,
thanks.
Blue.
We'll
Thank
see you soon. Man. Good stuff. Right. Mike Cugno, CBS for a Nat Moore Award, natmooretrophy.com. Can still nominate your guys, and please do. We got more. Next hour, we're going to be talking to Coach Tim Ice-Harris from Mattar Academy. Also, we'll break down that game between Miami and FSU. Jordan McPherson from the Miami Herald and Liam Rooney from the Tallahassee Democrat. Do not go away. We'll be back in just a few.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
time for the South Florida High School Sports Show on FM 104.3 WQAM. Florida's most in-depth coverage of high school sports.
Sponsored by UHealth, University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute's physicians deliver the precision of academic medicine to every pro, adult, and youth athlete. For your best recovery, go with pro-level expert care. Recover your game at uhealthsports.com.
Yes, sir, and welcome back to hour number two, and glad that you can be with us on a Wednesday evening. Larry Bluestein along with Trevor Harris taking you up to about 10 o'clock or so. Thanks so much. In the first hour to Jose Duaso from Crib Classic All-Star Game, Coach Calvin Davis from Monarch High School, and also talk to Mike Cugno about the Nat Moore Award, which the Nat Moore Trophy, which will be awarded on December the 2nd. And we'll have a lot on that as well. So if you miss anything that we have this evening, just go to WQAM.com, top of the page where it says podcast, and there we are. Please give us an opportunity to see what we have, especially coming on a little later for a couple of weeks, and then we'll return to our 6-8 spot as well. Right in the middle of the high school football season, and as I said before, one of the programs has been just, I don't know if there's been a surprise, because if you know what Ice Harrison has done at Booker T. Washington and everywhere he's been associated at Florida Memorial and at University of Miami, wherever he's been able to coach throughout the years, he's done a tremendous job. But the way that they kind of laid the groundwork for this program in his first year, and as I said during the spring, when I had a chance to go to their spring game, held on a Friday morning, they had a field trip environment. It was great. They honored everybody, all the other teams. But the important part was the student participation. They came out, and that's something that Coach Harris has kind of preached since day one. The other night, they kind of wrapped it all up in the district. Early, beating North Miami 35-14. They have this week off, and then they kind of finish strong. They have two pretty good teams in there with Lake Gibson, a trip to Lake Gibson, and Miami LaSalle. But nevertheless, it's been a great year, great first season, and they've got a long way to go in this year. And we welcome in one of the better coaches that we've covered throughout the years, not only from the X's and O's, but being a great discipline and a great person and somebody who works extremely well, not only with his players, but also the parents and the student body. We welcome in Coach Tim Ice Harris. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Great seeing you the other night, and obviously a big win to wrap up the district. But I know you. It's. Let's not look too far ahead. You know, you got this week off, and then you get right back to work.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on tonight. You know, but first, I just like to just say thanks to my condolences to the Sheldon Hanks family. You know, in terms of he passing, you know, last week, you know, he means so much to me as a close friend, and we worked and started, you know, coaching together for so long, over 40 years, you know, we've been in this thing, and for him to not be here, it's been tough at the same time of still trying to consider running a program and staying, you know, excited about what we do, you know, at the same time.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to echo it. I've known Sheldon. I've known the Hanks family for a long time, Coach. This is somebody who, you know, at the young age of 62, I mean, and to me, somebody who represented so much from his community. And that's important, and obviously to the Hanks family, and you, and I know how close he was to your program and to Overtown in itself and to that community. So my condolences to Sheldon's family and then to everybody as well. And I'm so sorry for your loss, knowing that he was extremely close to you and the kids and your wife as well. On a different note, this football program, talk about what this season has been like for you so far, because I mean, you're used to winning obviously, but building a program up, you know, in such a short time, getting everybody aboard, having your coaches being on the sideline with you. Talk what it's been like ever since you took over.
It's been exciting. It's been great in terms of really just thanking the press for Sirago and giving us an opportunity, you know, to develop, to have an opportunity to develop these student athletes, you know. But the first thing is start off with the staff. You know, our staff is, you know, we had to be able to get a great staff in place, you know, so that's been a great thing about everything. And then making sure that, you know, what we do as coaches in terms of development and understanding the culture that we're trying to bring, you know, to Matter Academy, you know, and making sure that our kids understand our team core values that we put in line, and making sure that it's just not something we write on the board or put on the back of a T-shirt. We actually have to live it out by putting the work in to make sure that everything that we talk about, you know, is realistic. It's doing the things that you're supposed to do. And then we grade it and check it. When the things that we do are based on our core values, when we do these things, these are the positive things that happen and how we develop. So it's been a great, great, you know, opportunity for us as coaches to be able to come into Matter Academy and get it going. And our kids is buying in to you know, to what we're trying to get done from a culture standpoint and from a core value standpoint.
Yeah. And not only that, is to have some, you know, like you said, familiar faces on the sideline with you and guys that have coached with you for, you know, a number of years. They're on the same page. And, you know, I keep thinking back to when you came back to Booker T. Washington and you were out there for that spring. And I talked to you about, you know, what it's going to take to rebuild this thing and to get the program back. And you said, you know what, everybody has to do their part. You know, you just, one person can't do something and another person can't not do something. You said that everybody, you know, it's like a one machine, but everybody has to do their part. And so far you've gotten that. You've gotten that from a senior class, you know, of some of the players, some that you knew before, some you didn't know before, and a great group of underclassmen who, you know, come in with that understanding that they know what you're about. They know what this coaching staff is about. How important has it been for you to at least have a group of coaches around you that know exactly what you're thinking and what your next move is going to be? How important is that, rather than to kind of learn on the fly like this?
Well, I think it's very important. You know, the best thing about, you know, the opportunity that we were blessed with is having coaches who played for us, you know, at Booker T, and they was able to learn from us, and they know what it looked like. They go to college, they learn so much, come back from college, graduate from college. And the greatest thing is about, you know, our staff, all these guys, you know, they got degrees, they got college degrees, and they're excited about their opportunity to be able to develop young people, you know, and that's what's happening, you know, developing relationships, you know, all of that stuff is grinded into making sure that these student athletes live out their dreams and goals, you know, and then football give us an opportunity to give us to get their attention, to do the right thing in the classroom, off the field, and all the things that's got to happen there. So the staff is the key, you know, and they really do a great job in terms of doing what they need to do and preparing themselves and studying and learning the things that they need to learn. So the kids see that those coaches are very prepared and organized, and it making them better players at the same time, and all the details that goes with playing the game. So we're just happy and satisfied with that.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Tim Isaras joins us, head coach at Matter Academy. And you're right. I mean, I walked the sideline the other day, and obviously Torian Bean and Devon Johnson, your two offensive coordinators, to see them there. And obviously to see Dedrick Mackey and the Dames brothers, you know, Richard and Rashard Dames, and getting an opportunity to see people, you know, that have been around you for a number of years, like Shanton Crummy, who obviously probably knows Overtown better than anybody. and has seen these kids and has seen a lot of these coaches come through, as you mentioned, you know, and to have people, you know, like, as you mentioned, with Mr. Tamargo, the principal, and, you know, and Mr. Carnicero, the athletic director, and having Ben Hanks Sr. around the program, you know, for his guidance as well. I mean, that's got to help as well. But you look at some of the players, and you know, and I saw the other day, you know, a couple of the kids that, you know, kind of like are starting to separate themselves, like Jamal Robinson Jr., a wide receiver who I think a lot of people, I know coaches are starting to see him now. I think he's going to be really good. You look at Eduardo Thompson. These are all young kids. You look at kids as well as Trezvan Boyd, who I think is one of the up-and-coming defensive backs. You've got a lot of seniors for leadership, but you have a lot of these young players, Coach, that will be with you for a number of years to come. Talk about that, because not only is your success off to a 6-0 start, but your nucleus of your program are a lot of the younger kids.
And I go back to, you know, the coaching as well as, you know, Coach Twan Adams, who's our defensive coordinator as well. So, you know, but our student athletes, you know, playing them young has been great for us. And we have shown that we really invest into our young kids. And when they're young, continue to develop them and give them opportunities. You know, if something don't go right early, we still making sure we go to the drawing board, we solve the problem, and we get them to believe that, you know, they can be, you know, in the big status, in the big leagues at all times. So we try to make sure we do that through camps, how we train in the summer, to make sure that they in that environment as young student athletes, to make sure that they're prepared young, and then as they continue to grow, then the leadership. And then, you know, being great leaders and great teammates, all of that stuff come to play with great character with that right. at the same time. So we feel great about, you know, our young student athletes, how they're really stepping up to the plate, taking on the role in terms of making sure that they're being leaders now. And as they're getting older, they can be able to take that and get into college and be going into college with the ability to lead and being able to play, you know, on Saturdays when that opportunity comes.
Yeah, no doubt. Tim Ice Harris joins us, head coach at Matter. You know what? Also, too, Coach, seeing, you know, getting a chance to see Brandon and Tim Jr., you know, coaching at a high level, you know, at Power Four schools, you know, and what they've come through and watching you and being around you and being around the program. Talk about that and what it means to you to, you know, to look, you know, maybe turn on a TV and see a Florida State game and seeing your son, you know, on the sideline or watching UCF and seeing Brandon or, you know, or any of the kids that have played for you or coaches, you know, under your coaching tree over the year. What's it like for you? Because I know you're that type of guy that you're proud of everybody who, you know, who has come under you and who has worked with you. What's it like to see your, you know, your son's doing so well?
No, we're always proud, you know, as parents, you know, me and my wife, we be, you know, we go to games and we be so excited, you know, sitting there watching, you know, our sons really developing and doing the things that they love to do and showing the pride that they put in the work to put themselves in that position. And all they do is continue to motivate all the other young coaches. So we have quite a few, about 10 of our former coaches, the young guys that play for us that's in college football right now, you know, so it's great to be able to watch on Saturdays and be able to watch, you know, our former student athletes and our sons, you know, being able to do the things that they really, really love to do and put in the work to get it done. And they do a great job, you know, with us as a staff in terms of helping us, you know, from a coaching perspective, you know, because you're always looking for new ideas, how we can get better. You know, so all of that stuff goes with the relationships, you know, that we have, you know, with our sons and with former players that play for us. So we use each other at the same time to make sure we're making each other better, you know, every time that we get an opportunity to communicate.
Yeah, 100%. And do you find yourself some Saturday, before a game, maybe talking to Brandon or talking to Tim Jr., just about football and just maybe different things? Is your conversations more about the family or is it more about football?
They do both. We kind of, you mimic both. But, we all are coaches, so that stays, that's always there. Family always going to be tight there as well. But we always try to see, how can we get better? Things that we may have issues with, from our standpoint, from a high school perspective, or how we handle a certain situation with student-athletes, some type of specific scheme, some type of specific drill that we need to make sure that we do a better job on how we can help our student-athletes get better each week or each day. So we use them to help us with our fundamentals in teaching and development. Right. For us as coaches, we always got to find a way how we can consistently get better that our kids can understand and see my coach bringing something different to the table, every day or every week. It's something that he can make us better. If it's just the terminology, we might be doing some of the same things, but they might be able to teach us a better way to say it and how to communicate it, to our student athletes. And we appreciate those opportunities when they come as well.
Yeah. And in addition, you have Coach Stork up at Syracuse and you have Coach Hippolyte over at FIU. And also FIU, have somebody who came up under you that is, I think, a really good coach on and off the field, and that's Coach Pierre Sinatis, who I like. I think he's a great coach, and he does a great job in the classroom as well. And I know that they're very proud of what you do, and I can't thank you enough for taking time, Coach, tonight. You know that I always like to see you. I always like to have some kind words for you because you're a guy that we all admire, and you do it the right way. And you still got that fire, though. I stood next to you the other day, and I'll tell you, nobody works the refs like you do. But you know what? I think that's a badge of honor because I love it. I love your fire, and you care about the game, and that's important. Thanks so much, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. I'd just like to take a shout out to our middle school team. We played our first game today against Carl Springs Charter, and we was fortunate to win 52-0. So our first middle school game was today, and we are excited about those young student athletes having an opportunity to represent us. And our job is to keep developing them young and put them in position that they'll be playing on Friday nights, soon, when that opportunity comes for them as well.
I'll tell you what, it's almost dangerous to give you a middle school feeder program, which you did over the years with Overtown Optimist. Now you got a middle school feeder. Come on, man. That's like an unfair advantage. Coach, I can't thank you enough, brother. You're one of a kind. I love you, man. You take care.
Thank you. Love you, too. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate you.
Good stuff. Coach Tim Isaris. One of the best. And I'll tell you what, I stood next to him the other night at the game, and he works those referees to no end. I love it. Listen, as long as you have that passion, for the game, doing as long as he has, I think it's awesome. And you give him a middle school feeder that he has somebody right there on campus where he can look at some of those players coming up. Whew, that team is going to be something. I told people in 5A, you got to watch out. St. Thomas, next couple of years, you better watch out. This is a program that's ready to do some damage over the next couple of years. And so far, they're 6-0 this year. Could end up undefeated in the regular season. Like I said, it got a couple of tough games left, but certainly keep your eye on Matter Academy and obviously always on Coach Tim Isaris. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts. Now, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we wrap things up. Our final two segments, Jordan McPherson from the Miami Herald and Liam Rooney from the Tallahassee Democrat. We talk FSU Miami on Saturday night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to South Florida high school sports on FM 104.3 WQAM. Sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsports.com.
Larry Gleason, Trevor Harris with you up until 10 o'clock. Thanks so much to Coach Tim Ice Harris from Matter Academy. I could probably talk to him for the whole show. He's a classic, but I'm telling you, like I was just telling Trevor, I mean, he's up the other night like 28-0 or 28-7, and he's riding those referees like he's down by 40. But you know what? Like I said, at the end of the day, it's all about the kids, and that's what he's about. You know, he's always been. I mean, while that while that game's going on, I mean, he's just. You can't talk to him. I mean, most coaches, I could walk down and say something to him. I know my limitations there, but he will be front and center on Saturday watching the FSU Miami game as his son is the wide receivers coach for FSU, Tim Ice Harris Jr. He'll be entrenched in that game, as will everybody else, as Miami and FSU will renew this yearly rivalry. And this year it's going to be interesting. It was kind of tainted a little bit when FSU lost to Virginia last Friday, but you kind of saw that coming. You knew Virginia is going to be tough. Those Friday night games are really, really, really tough to kind of predict. From the Miami side of things, from the Miami Herald, Jordan McPherson covers the Hurricanes. Obviously he has a pretty keen insight on what's going to go on as Miami had the week off. To prepare for this game, and he's kind enough to join us. Jordan, thanks so much for taking the time. I know that you've been doing your homework and you've been breaking this game down, and you're ready to give me every single possibility, and maybe I'm wrong. No. Hey, thanks a lot for joining us, Jordan, on this beautiful Wednesday evening. Big game, obviously. But nothing that Miami hasn't played over the first couple of weeks of the season with Notre Dame and Florida. They're on the road. That's the one difference. But competition level, they've kind of faced some pretty good teams so far.
Yeah, no doubt, Larry. I mean, like you said, Notre Dame, Florida, USF was a ranked opponent when they faced them in week three. They've gone through a gauntlet in their non-conference late, and they're 4-0. You've seen a little bit of everything from this team. The defense has certainly stepped up. Carson Beck is impressed. The run game has been absolutely phenomenal through four games. And they're going to need every last bit of it when they go up to Tallahassee on Saturday.
Yeah. But you know what, though? And you've been around this thing for a while. I mean, if both teams were 0-4, it really wouldn't matter. Because this is one of those games. And I know it sounds cliche-ish, but you've been part of the FSU-Florida rivalry. So you know. I mean, it's not always the team that has the most talent that wins a game like this. It's a team that gets the least amount of turnovers or break, you know, that has the better breaks. What do you look for in a game like this? Because you know that Miami's strength, especially on offense, is their experience at quarterback, their run game, and an offensive line that truly has held up very well over the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, no, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, Miami's on the offense, it's just keeping that balance and just taking what the game dictates. I mean, we saw in the Florida game, Carson Beck was struggling. He was far from his best, far from what we saw the first 3 weeks. So what does Miami do in the second half? they just hand the ball to Mark Fletcher, hand the ball to Mark Fletcher, give Marty Brown the handoff, hand it back to Mark Fletcher, just ground and pound and wear Flores' defense down and just eat up the clock. That's what the game dictated. That's what they did. They didn't try to force it, force Carson Beck to make the key plays. They took what the defense was giving them and they made sure to execute as clean as possible. On defense, they just got to keep Tommy Castellanos contained. If they can limit him again, they face dual threat quarterbacks against Byron Brown, against USF, against DJ Lightway, against Florida. Castellanos is going to be another big test for the defensive line to set the edge, limit those run lanes, and try to do what they can to limit a quarterback who can do it with both his arms and his legs. And FSU is one of the best, if not the best, offense in the country through the first month of the season. So everyone on that defense is going to have to be locked in. And like you said, with this rivalry, it's just you always expect it to come down to the last drive, the last possession, potentially the last play. I think it's like eight or nine of the last 12 or 13 games have been one-score games. So regardless of the score, regardless of the record, regardless of the rankings, it's just FSU-Miami. The game almost always lives up to the hype, and just the way these two teams are going Saturday feels like it should be the same.
Yeah. And you and I think at halftime I mentioned to you at the Florida game, I thought that Florida would be the best defense Miami faced. Now, people don't realize, I mean, until you're out there and watching, but Florida's got cats, man. I mean, they got kids who fly to the ball. They've got really good defensive backs. They've got good – they didn't have linebacker play that night, obviously. They were down Banks and maybe a player or so. But up front, you know, with Sapp, and they kind of controlled things. Things that were working against USF or things that were working against Bethune-Cookman – not so much in a game like that, because Florida's defense, as we said, they recruited at a high level. Remember, they're in the SEC. They've got to recruit at a high level. They showed that. Obviously, we know their offense kind of didn't, you know, come through and execute as well as they should. But Miami's offense going against Florida State's defense, I think they've kind of faced a better defense than Florida State's already. And then having somebody like a Beck, and then, as you mentioned, having a running back, and especially if you're going to use Brown and Fletcher, you know, to wear you down. Because sooner or later, as we saw against Florida, it was taking its toll in the fourth quarter, you know, with those guys battering the linebackers and the safeties, because it was getting a little bit old, that Miami's offensive line, you know, having a guy like Markell Bell, you know, who's large, and having somebody like Mauanoa and McCoy, and then having somebody like Inez Cooper, who did a lot of talking in the game. I saw that. But having guys like that, I think Miami, from an offensive standpoint against Florida State's defense, I think they're ready for that task, because I think they know, and especially with a quarterback like, you know, Carson Beck, who you know as well as I do, Jordan, he's seen all this stuff. He's been in the SEC. He's played in big games, so he knows not to play outside of what he's capable of. Talk about that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That was one of my main things when Carson Beck came in, when he transferred in, was, is he going to try to do too much? Is he, after the injury that ended his season last year in the SEC championship game with Georgia, when he decided to back out of the draft and transfer him for one more year, when he came to Miami and has to fill the shoes of Cam Ward, which, let's face it, nobody's going to fill the shoes of Cam Ward what he did in that one season with Miami. My main question was, is he going to try to be the hero more than he has to be? And he hasn't tried to do that. He's making the plays that he's supposed to be making. He is handling his business, and he's not trying to do too much. The Notre Dame game, he executed what he needed to do flawlessly. Bethune-Cookman's Bethune-Cookman. USF, he did what he needed to do. Florida, again, realized things aren't going well. He had no problem at all with them going basically completely to a run game in the second half. He understands what he needs to do for the team to be successful. He knows that a run game with that stout and veteran offensive line can win them games if he's not at 100%, if his mechanics are off, if his touch is off. He knows that he's going to have to make some plays, yes, but he doesn't have to be the guy, the hero every night like Cam Ward had to do so many times last season. He has enough guys around him where he's trusting in them to do as much as as much as possible when things aren't going well for him. He seems to be finding that balance, and having the bye week to look over that Florida film, to be able to look over the first month as a whole, I feel like it's going to be advantageous for him as he gets into his first road game with Miami and first time out of Duke.
Yeah, I agree with you. Jordan McPherson, Miami Herald. And here's the thing, too. First road game. And that has, there's a lot of intangibles there. And you know that. I mean, this is, we don't know how they're going to act. They didn't have a road game yet. You know, Florida State's been on the road. They've been at home. So we know what they can do. If it comes down to a kicking game, I think by now, I think everybody kind of understands that Carter Davis, believe it or not, I had no idea that Carter Davis was going to come through the way he has. You know, after the Borregales regimes, he and his brother, you figure, oh my gosh, there's going to be such a drop off. I think if it comes down to Carter Davis, I think he's got that ice water a little bit in his veins. But we don't know. We don't know what Doak Campbell Stadium is going to bring on a Saturday night, and it's going to be crazy. Do you think if it comes down to a field goal that Carter Davis can come through?
I think so. I feel like just seeing how he responded, that Notre Dame game specifically, again, that was his first game with Miami, having to come down to kicking a game-winning field goal with a minute and a half left. Yes, he's at home, but it's a massive moment for the kid, especially since, like you said, I was in the same boat as you. I wasn't sure where the kicking game was going to stand between right. Carter Davis coming in, Burt Auburn coming in as well, Mario Cristobal saying that the battle for the starting kicker basically came down to the wire. And for Carter Davis, who, let's call it like this, his career at FAU wasn't spectacular. They left a lot of questions coming in. And for him to be as clutch as he was in that Notre Dame game and then to kick a couple pretty big field goals in the Florida game when the offense stalled, he has shown so far that he's up to the task. But again, like you said, a road environment where things could get dicey, it'll be interesting to see, but he's impressed me to this point.
No doubt. Jordan, let everybody know how they can follow you, social media, also your website as well. I know you're going to have a lot of good stuff pre and post.
Yeah, so all my writing is on the Miami Herald website, miamiherald.com/sports, and social media, Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it nowadays, and Instagram are both J_McPherson1126.
Good stuff. Hey, I can't thank you enough, man. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Larry.
Good stuff. Jordan McPherson from the Miami Herald. Good dude. Hard worker. Knows his stuff. Gator fan. I know I could see him in that Miami-Florida game. You know, it was kind of like his stomach was going each way. What do you do? But certainly professional all the way. You know, and he calls it like you see it. That trip, I mean, Miami's first trip is going to be tough. Somebody probably knows that Doak Campbell environment and understands what Miami's walking into on Saturday evening is Liam Rooney from the Tallahassee Democrat. And he is kind enough to join us this evening. Liam, thanks so much for taking the time. Obviously, tough loss for Florida State last week. Miami fans were probably hoping that they would have smashed Virginia. Because they come in with a little chip on their shoulder this week. I appreciate you taking the time this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. No worries. Thank you for having me.
This is one of those games, like I was just talking with Jordan. It's you don't know. From a Miami standpoint, you don't know. This is their first road game. You know, how are they going to respond? I mean, your only answer from the offensive standpoint is you have a quarterback in Carson Beck who's kind of – been there, done that before. He's been in the SEC. He's been in environments a lot like Tallahassee, but has he been in an environment that's such a great rivalry through the years? You see, that's one of the intangibles. How do you see this working out?
Yeah, I think, and especially you bring up that first road game thing. We just saw that with FSU going up to Virginia. You know, first three drives, punt, two turnovers, all of a sudden they're down 14-0. You know, anything can happen in that environment, and it's about responding. So, like you said, when you got a guy like Carson Beck under center, he's obviously played against Alabama. He's played in those Florida-Georgia games there in Jacksonville, played in the biggest games in the playoffs. So, that Doak environment is something I don't think he's experienced yet, but I don't think it'll be anything too abnormal for him. considering some of those big game environments he's played in. But I think you hit the nail on the head earlier too. FSU's coming in, they've got a huge chip on their shoulder. They felt like even with all the errors in that Virginia game, they still should have won it. Things didn't go their way, and they're ready to take that out on Miami and get the home crowd behind them. And we've seen early this season, Doak has been rocking with those renovations. So the environment's going to be A1. Primetime game, when you think Florida State, Miami, I feel like this is what you imagine and envision, two top 25 teams going at it in prime time. So the stage is set for Carson Beck to kind of have his signature moment for Miami, and it's up to FSU to kind of foil those plans.
Yeah, and Tommy Castellanos made a great impression. I mean, as a quarterback, as a leader, as a producer, and as you said, I mean, he took that thing right down to the end last week against Virginia. And not only that, having somebody that is a master play caller, they've got a great offensive coordinator. They have some really good minds in there as well. And they discovered Deuce Robinson. And to me, I've watched Deuce in the past, and I've always thought that he was going to be something special. Here's a kid who stepped up his game in a major way, without Squirrel White making that major impression. Talk about what Deuce Robinson brings to this game, because now he gives that Miami secondary, which kind of has been vulnerable to a couple of long plays so far this year, something to think about.
Yeah, and I think a big thing that you got to look at is this is a guy playing on the outside who's 6'6". I mean, this is a jump ball specialist. He's got the range to go up and kind of get anything. And not to speak ill of the height of the Miami secondary, but not a lot of guys can challenge a 6'6" receiver in the backfield. I mean, when the ball's thrown 40 yards downfield. And the thing with him is, you look at him in the stature, and I think this is why he was profiled as a tight end for so long, is you just naturally assume, all right, maybe he won't be that quick, but he's got a great first step. He's able to get out off the line and really put the pressure on DBs. And if they're backpedaling, then he's going to run right by you. So for Miami, I think the big thing is just don't do anything unforced, no unforced errors. This is Tommy's guy. He's his go-to guy, third down, fourth down. They need a big play. He's going to go to Deuce. And one thing that stood out to me last week was some of the back shoulder plays that he made, kind of Tommy throwing it towards the sideline, letting Deuce go and get it, putting it into place only he could do it. So that's what they're going to have to look out for. You've got to find a way, whether you put two guys on him, bracket him, whatever you do, you've got to make Tommy make the right ball, make him throw a perfect ball, let Deuce go get it. And you live with the results after that. But, when he gets going, and it happens quick, I think Virginia, he totaled it up maybe 100 yards in like four catch span. So, when he's going, it just, you blink and all of a sudden he's got four catches for a touchdown and a buck 50. So you can't let him get hot, and you've got to make somebody else beat you if you're Miami.
Yeah. No doubt. Liam Rooney joins us, Tallahassee Democrat. Also, Castellanos has faced, obviously, Alabama, and he's faced some pretty good. Virginia was really aggressive. Miami's defensive line is probably as good as you're going to get. And obviously, they're used to, chasing you down. How does that match up? Because I know the offensive line is much improved, with Gunnar Hansen doing a tremendous job and Luke Pettibone, and obviously Adrian Medley had a really good game against Alabama. They have to step things up now, but having a mobile quarterback as opposed to last year when they had a quarterback who just stood in the pocket and waited for Miami to just kick his butt. This year, there's going to be a little bit of a moving target, and Bain and his team, I'm sure what they're going to have to probably do is they're going to have a spy of some sort to something at least like contain them, because they did that with Byron Brown, and you've seen Byron Brown against a couple of the teams, and he did a pretty good job. But I think Castellanos is a little bit different. He's got the experience, a little bit more athletic. What does Florida State have to do to protect him for the entire game? Because, I mean, Miami will get to him once or twice. I mean, no doubt, maybe force him to do stuff, but he's got that athletic ability to kind of escape the pass rush. How do you see that offense and defense line deal working out? Do you think Florida State's in better shape because they have that mobile quarterback?
Yeah, I definitely think that helps a ton. And I'm glad you brought up Byron Brown, because I think that's probably the game plan that Miami's most looking to replicate, just with the way that Tommy plays. But from the Florida State standpoint, I think your biggest addition to the team this week is get Roydell Williams back, who is a good running back, but he's really solid in pass protection. So now you've got guys like Bravin Sawchuk, Roydell Williams, who Reuben Bain's going to get by that offensive line at one point. And I'm not saying Roydell Williams or Gavin Sawchuk's going to stop him, but if they can clip him just enough to give Tommy enough time to roll out of the pocket, that's kind of how you have to play this. You've got to hope that that extra level and layer of blocking can give Tommy a second, you know, just to beat himself out the pocket. And from an offensive standpoint, too, I wouldn't be surprised with Gus and the way he likes to run. Get Tommy out of the pocket by design. Just have some rollouts, some bootlegs, you know, don't let them crash in on you inside the hashes. I think that's something that they could try and do. Obviously that comes with the risks of you got to be accurate on the run or outside the pocket, you know, anything can happen. But I feel like you can't let Reuben Bain be the reason you lose the game. And it happens to a lot of people because, you know, he's probably, if not the best defender in college football, maybe even the best player in college football at times. So, you know, it's going to be a battle. The winner of that game wins in the trenches. I feel like it's obviously said a lot in big games, but that's where I see it happening. And I think those running backs are going to be crucial. Obviously, they're going to run the football, but I think in those pass down situations, when they need a play, they need a spark, and Tommy needs just an extra second, you're going to look at Roydell or Gavin and see if they can get a little chop block or something there just to slow them up a little bit.
Yeah, great point. On defense, a little bit of a homecoming. Darryl Jackson, obviously, in Miami. And, they know each other extremely well. Also, Earl Little Jr. We'll get a chance to see Edwin Joseph from Shaman Amadana. And also Omar Graham, who's done pretty well out of Stranahan High School. So their defensive front against Miami's offensive line, we know Miami's offensive line is really good. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of schemes defensively. They got a lot more depth, I think Florida State does, than a lot of people give them credit, because they've got a lot of people that they could use, you know, even second teamers like, you know, the Desir brothers, if they need. I mean, they're both have done fairly well so far. Special teams, I was just talking to Jordan about that. Florida State's been doing good. Jake Weinberg, another South Florida kid from Heritage, a little ice water last week, coming up with a couple of big kicks. So I think it's kind of a even Steve. I mean, I see this thing coming down four quarters, maybe a lot like the Virginia game last week, maybe not as high scoring, but certainly something down the line. What's your take? Same thing?
Yeah, I think I lean the same way, and I think both offenses are going to score. It's going to come down to which defense can force a takeaway or turnover on downs. I think that's really kind of where this one gets won or lost, because these two offenses are methodical and great in their own ways. Miami is more than happy to drive down the field, take 10 minutes off the clock, score seven, and keep going. You know, and then flip side, you got FSU. Two plays and it's 2 minutes off the clock and all of a sudden it's a tie game. So, you can't leave them any time. So it's one of those where it's going to be somebody on that defensive side. And I think for Miami, from their standpoint, it would be fitting considering defense was kind of what cost them games last year. If that could be the thing that wins them the game, and vice versa for FSU, if their offense can find way to pick around that defense, it'll be big for them.
100%. Liam, let everybody know how they can follow you this week, because I know you're going to have a lot of things on your website, also on social media.
Yeah, first website is Tallahassee.com. You can do /sports. It'll take you right to the page. And then for social media, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, it is @_LiamRooney. And that's where you can find all the stuff I post.
Good stuff. Hey, we'll talk soon. I appreciate you as always, man. I hope it's a great game this week.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate you having me.
Good stuff. Liam Rooney, Tallahassee Democrat, does a great job. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts. They treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Take our final timeout. Come back and wrap things up after this.
Time for more of the South Florida High School Sports Show. On FM 1043 WQAM, sponsored by the University of Miami Health System Sports Medicine Institute.
Yes, sir. Back to wrap things up for you on a Wednesday evening. I liked the show tonight. You know what? I mean, I'm never, you know, back in the day, we did these 8 to 10s all the time. We used to come on after a hotline on Monday or Tuesday nights. And, you know, hey, listen, as long as you do it right, you don't have a huge, you know, like a game going up against you. We had the Dodgers in the Reds. I missed the end of the Yankee game, but that's okay. I'll make it up tomorrow and watch. There's a bunch of game threes tomorrow. Everyone, I think the Reds are even trying to bid that as bad as that was last night. But we thank you, you know, for taking the time this evening. If you missed anything in any of our six interviews in the first hour or our second, we started things off with Jose Duaso from the Crib Classic. Talked a little bit about that All-Star game. It'll be coming up in December 20th. Also, Coach Calvin Davis from Monarch. They have a big one. I think going to head out there against Chaminade Madonna on Friday evening, close to the crib. I don't ever get that. Friday nights, I'm usually like somewhere far, far away. We also talked to Mike Cugno, Nat Moore Award, Nat Moore Trophy. I keep calling it the Nat Moore Award. It's the Nat Moore Trophy. You can still have time in natmooretrophy.com and nominate your player. Also, Coach Tim Ice-Harris, head coach at Matter Academy, joined us. Jordan McPherson, we hit FSU Miami from both sides. Jordan McPherson from the Miami Herald and Liam Rooney from the Tallahassee Democrat. So that will do it. Don't forget, go to WQAM.com, top of the page where it says podcast. You can relive the entire 2 hours with us. We'll be back with you next Tuesday evening, 8 to 10, once again. So we start hockey, we start basketball, so we'll kind of dance around, but we will be with you every week. Thanks to the man who does the great job every week for us, Trevor Harris. And we will see you next week. Thanks so much.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.